supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with Him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among Thy troops are the victors, and place me in Thy party, for Thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among Thy friends, for Thy friends no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging, and to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless Thou forgives it. And leave no grief unless Thou takes it away. And leave no enemy. And leave no enemy unless Thou repelst him. By means of In the Name of Allah, the best of the names. In the name of Allah, Lord of earth and heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is his anger. And I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is his good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from thee, O patron of beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam dina.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear Muslims, Salamun Alaikum and welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio, Iran. Our topic is about significance of politeness and mannerism in Islam.
Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, haqqiq amanina, waffiqna fi kulli an, fi ma sa'ina. Ya Allah, Ya Mannan, haqqiq amanina, waffiqna fi kulli an, fi ma sa'ina.
Grateful today for difference and change, for all colors and shades, 'cause you made it this way. وهبتنا النبراس في حب كل الناس أغبط لنا إحساس
أنت يا
But first, we'll look at the calendar. Today, Monday, is the 18th of Rabiul Awal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 3rd of Aban, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 25th of October, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment of today's special by recitation of chapter Al-Mujadila, verse 9.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, iza tanajaytum fala tatanajaw bil ithmi wal udwani wa ma'siyatir rasuli wa tanajaw bil birri wat taqwa wattaqullaha alladhi ilayhi tuhsharun.
O you who have believed, when you converse privately, do not converse about sin and aggression and disobedience to the messenger, but converse about righteousness and piety, and fear Allah, to whom you will be gathered.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Holding secret councils and confidential talks may lead to disclosure of secrets, and thus it is obligatory when such act entails benefits to the Islamic faith and Muslims. It is unlawful and forbidden when it leads to fear and anxiety for others. It is supererogatory when it assists others and enjoins them to fear God Almighty. The blessed verse is saying that believers must heed that when they hold confidential talks, they should not thereby commit sins and disobey God Almighty and His Messenger. But their confidential talks should be pure and divine. Believers are supposed to hold secret councils regarding good deeds and fear of God Almighty.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you to doubt you would be the worst mistake? Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong, and the world that often lies, as I don't need anyone.
You are with today's special by IRIB English Radio. We're talking about significance of politeness in Islam. The issue of good manners and being polite is very important because it's the foundation of our daily life, through which we can achieve success and a distinctive place in Islamic community. A father cannot lead a happy life, nor can a husband have prosper marital life unless they possess good and sound manners in dealing their family members. If a person who is calling others to the way of Allah is not well-mannered, cannot be successful in his mission. Every person can achieve great success in his or her life by having and dealing people with noble and praised manners. Dealing others with good manners means to put them at ease by the way that Islam urges us to deal with. It is not only the essential part of our religion, but also makes our social life more pleasant. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin asta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with politeness as viewed in Islamic teachings. Another type of respect and politeness concerns the type of respect observable in the Holy Quran when Moses showed to his companion, that is Khizr. Although the name of the Prophet Khizr isn't indicated, I mean, as such in the Holy Quran, but almost all Quran exegetes unanimously believe that in the episodes indicated in the Holy Quran, especially in his interactions, Moses, was accompanied by Khizr, who was, to a sense and in one state, in one context, the teacher of Moses. قال له موسى هل اتبعك على أن تعلمني and Moses told him in a very polite way out of politeness are we expected to do so and so or for example when Khizr told the prophet Moses موسى to be patient Moses answered in this way ستجدني إن شاء الله صابرا by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you will find me patient ولا أعصي لك أمرا and I wouldn't abstain from following your instructions. Another kind of politeness is politeness regarding when we want to enter any home, any house. Muslims have been instructed to seek permission for entering any home, any house, or even any room in a home. It's indicated in the Holy Quran in this way. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تدخلوا بيوتا غير بيوتكم حتى تستأنسوا فلا تدخلوها حتى يؤذن لكم وإن قيل لكم ارجعوا فارجعوا هو أزكى. O people, O believers, never enter the houses other than your own, your own houses, those of yours, until you seek permission. فلا تدخلوها حتى يؤذن لكم. And never enter those homes until you've been permitted. وإن قيل لكم ارجعوا فارجعوا. In case you've been told to return, return. Huwa azka. This is far better. Another type of politeness is concerned with discharging salam or pronouncing salam to everybody. Usually in Muslim lands, in Muslim communities, the word of greeting is salam. And salam means, literally it means peace. And now we find that salam is... has been used in Islamic settings and in Islamic contexts in many, many places, even in the Holy Quran. For example, when believers are going to enter the paradise in the afterworld, the divine angelic guards of the paradise would pronounce salam unto believers who've been invited to enter the paradise.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, in your hearts. A day you'll always remember every part.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the
This part entitled Islamic Mannerism, Kindness, Gentleness, and Forbearance. Our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family was an example, one of a kind, in his kindness and gentle behavior with everyone. No one can attain that level. But that is not to discourage us of striving. Instead, it is a challenge set for us for our own felicity and success. Now Allah in the Quran explains to us why He made the Prophet in such a character. And by the mercy of Allah, you dealt with them gently. And had you been severe and harsh-hearted, they would have broken away from about you. It is extremely important to remember that people are attracted to someone who is kind and gentle, and they are apprehensive and afraid of someone who is harsh and severe and does not show the good side of his or her nature. It is practically important for those who are calling others to the way of Allah, be it they are calling to Muslims or non-Muslims. it's a nice moment to listen about habits polite people have in common. They say please and thank you. Your mother was right. The golden rule of good manners is golden for a reason. Saying please and thank you is the oil that keeps polite society running smoothly. They are often the first rule we teach children, yet adults often forget to use these simple niceties. Remember, you're never too old to show kindness and gratitude to others. Simply doing this one thing will help you achieve many of the rude mistakes you need to quit.
Why do we see a difference between the people of the world? There is a difference in their manners, in their akhlaq, in their behavior. Some people are disorganized, very chaotic, while others are more refined, more responsible, more committed, and more organized. You can see this not only among the people, the countries, but also among some families who are living in the same neighborhood, in the same village, in the same country. There is a difference in their behavior. Where does this difference come from? There is a fact. Anthropologists, sociologists, psychologists, other scientists, they say that every human being is the product of his or her culture, the environment. And what do we mean by culture? Culture consists of a bundle of factors, not one or two. When we say the culture, we mean the school. We mean the parents. We mean the teachers. We mean the mosque. We mean the street. We mean the marketplace. We mean the extended family. We mean the friends. All those things, they make the culture, the environment that surrounds us. We are influenced by our cultures. And among the cultural factors is deen and religion.
Thank you very much for joining us. That was all for today's special. Inshallah, we continue for another one tomorrow. Till then, have a nice time and fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and as food for thought today, we present you a hadith from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, of how best to educate your children so that they will be successful in the world and in afterlife. Teach your children three habits: to love your Prophet, to love his Ahlul Bayt, and to recite the Holy Quran. Because the carrier of the Quran will be in the shade of Allah along with his Prophet and the chosen ones, that is, the Ahlul Bayt, on the day when there will be no shade except that of Allah. Thank you.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EN.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. One of the secrets of this world is life and death, especially death. Because many of us do not know what will happen tomorrow. None of us know what will happen tomorrow, actually. So that's the secret of life. And none of us also know when we will leave this world, when we will pass away. When everything we have set aside, or when everything we have created, or everything we have anticipated will not come to fruition, because we do not know when we will leave this world and whether or not we will be able to attain those desires, those wishes and wants that we had planned for. But what is the secret behind it? How should we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding life and regarding death? Should we merely ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a long life with no, you know, addition to it? Should we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to delay our death? For what? These are important questions. And we can find the answer in the supplication of the Immaculate Household of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And we go to the door of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha. Bibi Zahra has known to have some very intimate du'as that have been narrated to us. And I would emphasize on my dear listeners to go and find some of these du'as. They are beautiful. How she prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, many of us just look at the oppression that occurred against her. Yes, there's no doubt, but there is great knowledge and ma'rifat, you know, deep within her, and within her supplications and within some of her sayings that she told her companions, her sons, and so on and so forth. But more so the supplications. So in the supplication that is narrated from her, she says that, "Oh Allah, by your knowledge of the unseen and your power over creation, keep me alive so long as you know that life is good for me." Allah, what a beautiful dua. That, "Oh Allah, in your knowledge, you know that when life will be good for me. You know that at this moment in time, there is nothing better for me after it. So until that moment, keep me alive." And then she continues, "And cause me to die when death is good for me." So there can be many different explanations here. Like, for example, taking Bibi Zahra Salamullah alayha out of the equation for us. That when we are, you know, in the state of being the abid and the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, life is good for us. But at that moment when we know, or rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that from that moment onwards, there is a chance for me to lose that deen, that religion of mine, that iman and belief of mine, at that moment it is best for me to leave this world. For at least I leave the world knowing that I am still in belief. But the secret is this, that I do not know when that will happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, and therefore we ask Allah in His knowledge for this to occur. Inshallah, until our next episode, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي
Let's recite the Quran.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Assalamu alaikum, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. I'm glad to be with you as always.
Thank you, brother. Well, the audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. We are going to talk about a famous Quranic reciter, then we're going to listen to a recitation by that famous reciter, and then Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation. Besides these parts, we're going to have some other interesting Quranic parts which are going to be presented to you. So please stay tuned. Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Mustafa Ismail. He was an Egyptian reciter who was born in 1905. He is very well known among Egyptian reciter and in the world of Quran. He is entitled Malikul Qurra, which means the king of the reciters. He had a unique style. He recited the Quran in a particular fashion, employing all Arabic maqams to illustrate the words of Allah to the listener. He moved easily between maqamat and never went off tune.
Many famous reciters were influenced by the style of this prominent reciter, such as Sheikh Ahmad Nuaina, Sheikh Raghib Mustafa Ghalwash, and Sheikh Hamdi Zamil. Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran, is interested in his recitations and has invited Quran reciters to follow his style. He passed away in 1978 at the age of 73. May Allah bless him. Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the recitation of Surah to Yusuf, verses 30 and 31, recited by Sheikh Mustafa Ismail. Let's enjoy it. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. And what you just listened to was recitation of Surah to Yusuf, verses 30 and 31, recited by Sheikh Mustafa Ismail. Now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Yes, sure. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. This was a very beautiful recitation by Sheikh Mustafa Ismail. It's one of his famous recitations, Surah Yusuf, and a lot of his fans have heard this recitation. Mm-hmm. And it was in Maqam al-Rasd, the very upright, powerful, and expressive Maqam al-Rasd. And it's a very good place to use this Maqam, considering the meaning of the verses. It's about actually the story of Prophet Yusuf and how after that incident where the wife of the Pharaoh, of the vizier actually, the Aziz of Egypt, tried to do that act and actually get close to Prophet Yusuf, the women in this city, they started gossiping, and they said the wife of Aziz, the vizier, has fallen in love with her slave. Mm-hmm. And so it's the way that he uses this maqam, it's like he is telling this story, he's relating this story with a lot of excitement, and it's very beautiful the way that he recites these verses, and he conveys the meaning of these verses very well. Those who are familiar with Arabic know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the maqam itself, also the intonation, the stresses. For example, فَلَمَّا سَمِعَتْ بِمَكْرِهِنَّ أَرْسَلَتْ, the way that he, the intonation of his voice, and also the stresses that he applies to certain
words
is what makes this
all in the way to convey the meaning.
Exactly. And it's, you know, it's a kind of art.
Mm-hmm.
It's artistry. You know, it's not just, of course, it's a good art. It has a purpose. You know, it's to make people get fond of the Quran, to become familiar with the Quranic stories and meanings. So it's very good. So let's go on to the tajweed.
Good idea.
First, we have, I have to say that this is Warshan Nafil, which is a little different from it's the Rawaya of Warshan Nafil. Most of the other rules are the same. We have only a few places where there are differences. وَقَالَ, we have تَفْخِيم of the قَاف at the highest level. نِسْوَةٌ فِي الْمَدِينَ, we have إِخْفَى of نُون سَاكِنَة, where you have to approximate the place of articulation of فَاء,
mm-hmm,
and make nasal sound while doing that. فِي الْمَدِينَةِ امْرَأَةُ الْعَزِيزِ, imra'a, the ra has tafkhim, it has to be pronounced with thickness. Turawidu fataha an nafsi, we have idgham of noon sakina into another noon, so we have to apply ghunna to the second noon,
mm-hmm,
because it becomes mushaddad, and whenever noon becomes mushaddad, you automatically have to apply ghunna, mm-hmm, for two vowel counts. قاد, we have قلقلة of the dal. شغفها, we have a line with تفخيم in between letters that are all of them are pronounced with ترقيق. شغفها, so only the line has تفخيم. لنريها, why is it that he says لنريها and not لنراها?
This is one clue actually that shows that
this
is
Warsh, yes. Usually, whenever there is a ra followed by a ya, which doesn't have dots, and an alif ul met above that ya without dots, you have to pronounce the ra with tarqiq. The reason for this is that in Warsh, it's said that it is difficult to say naraha. It's easier if you say nareha, because both the ha and the ra have, if tarqiq, they're both pronounced with tarqiq, it's easier.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Hafs does not say this. It says that you have to pronounce the ra with tafkhim. And the next verse, verse 31, bimakrihin, the kaf was pronounced with, in fact, with the clicking sound of kaf, bimakrihinna. If you say bimakrihinna, that's incorrect. We have to hear the sound of kaf from its place of articulation.
Yeah, we have to pronounce it without qalqala.
Without qalqala. Bimakrihinna. And of course, we have ikhtilas the calf. Now, another sign that this is warsh and not hafs is the part where it says وَقَالَ تُخْرُجَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Warsh says قَالَ تُخْرُجَ, whereas hafs says قَالَ تِخْرُجَ عَلَيْهِمْ.
Okay.
So this is another sign that this is the reason that the warsh says it's qala tukhruj, because originally if you pronounce the word ukhruj, you say ukhruj, you don't say ikhruj, and that is why in warsh it preserves the haraka of the hamzatul wasl, even though that it's preceded by a letter with a kasra.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة به. هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل البلاء اللهم اغفر لي كل ذنب أذنبته وكل خطيئة أخطأتها اللهم إني أتقرب إليك بذكرك وأستشفع بك إلى نفسك.
Brothers and sisters, as you have been previously with us, we were discussing this part of the supplication Kumail, where Imam Ali alayhi salam says, اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل البلاء. O Allah, forgive me for the sins which bring about tribulations. In this regard, we mentioned two important factors, two sins causing the descending of the tribulations: avoiding helping the needless and poor, and avoiding helping the oppressed. The third cause that we started to discuss was abandoning the responsibility towards the other people in the society, which is forbidding the evil and enjoining to good. In this regard, the Holy Prophet ﷺ has said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْجُلُوسِ فِي الطُّرُقَاتِ, avoid blocking the people's way by sitting on the road. قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا لَنَا مِن مَجَالِسِنَا بُدْ نَتَحَدَّثُ فِيهَا. The people, they were astonished, and they said, but Holy Prophet, we cannot help it. We have no other place to talk. قَالْ إِذَا أَبَيْتُمْ إِلَّا الْجُلُوسِ فَأَعْتُ الطَّرِيقَ حَقَّهَا. The Prophet ﷺ answered, if you cannot help it, then you should observe the rights of the roads. Very interesting words, dear listeners. The disciples asked, قَالُوا وَمَا حَقُّ الطَّرِيقِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, what are the rights of the roads, O the Prophet of Allah? قَالْ غَضُّ الْبَصَرِ, he replied, not looking at strange passing women, وَكَفُّ الْأَذَى, not annoying the passing people, وَرَدُّ السَّلَامِ, answering the people's greetings, وَالْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهْيُ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, and enjoining to good and forbidding evil. So you see, dear listeners, this is how the Holy Prophet ﷺ is treating with his ummah, with his people, using and making the most of any chance he gets to tell and remind his people that enjoining to good and forbidding evil must be dominant in every aspect of our lives, even when we are talking on the road.
Oh, first of the foremost, oh, last existence after the last. Oh Allah, forgive me my such sins which tear away my safeguards. Oh Allah, forgive me my such sins as would bring down calamity. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins that would change your favor. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins that would hinder my supplications. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins which descend misfortunes. Oh Allah, forgive my sins that suppress hope. Oh Allah, forgive every sin that I have committed and every error that I have earned. Oh Allah, I seek to draw myself nearer to you through your invocation, and I pray to you to intercede on my behalf, and I beg you by your benevolence to draw me nearer to you and grant thankfulness towards you and inspire me to remember and to invoke you. Oh Allah, I ask you begging submissively, humbly and awe-strickenly, to treat me with clemency and mercy, and to make me pleased and content with what you have granted me, and cause me to be modest and unassuming in all circumstances.
The Holy Prophet ﷺ has also said, كل كلام ابن آدم عليه لا له إلا أمرا بالمعروف أو نهيا عن منكر أو ذكر الله. All the speeches of man are to his harm, except his invocation to Allah and his enjoining good and forbidding evil. In fact, he is telling us that if you are talking, it should be either for the Almighty Allah or about the Almighty Allah, or else it would be against you. The question is, how would our words be against ourselves? The answer is that our words are at least taking up some of our time, some of our limited time in this world. And this is only one aspect. Imam Baqir alayhi salam has stated, Allah revealed to Prophet Shu'aib, I will chastise 100,000 people from your tribe, 40,000 of evildoers, and 60,000 of the pious ones. Shu'aib said, O Lord, the wrongdoers should certainly be chastised, but why would you punish the pious ones too? The Almighty Allah revealed to him, The pious men were not well-wishers to the wrongdoers. They did not forbid them from evil-doing, did not oppose them, and did not become enraged to them because of my wrath. And let us end our discussion on this topic by having a look at one of the stories, or better say, one of the anecdotes from the time of Prophet Muhammad. It is said that once a man from one of the tribes came to the Prophet Muhammad and said, O Prophet, inform me of the best Islamic rite. And the messenger said, Believe in Allah. The man said, What is the best act after that? And he answered, Observing the kinship ties. Then the man asked, What is next? And the Prophet said, Enjoining to good and forbidding evil. The man again asked, Which deed is more hated by Allah? And the Prophet said, Polytheism, cutting kinship ties, and then enjoining to evil and forbidding from good. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello and welcome to our audience, and particularly a warm welcome to our regular listeners of our program, The Man Who Changed the World. This is a program dedicated to Imam Khomeini. May God bless his great soul. And I'd like to welcome my expert and guest, an academic, Islamic scholar, Dr. Mahdi Tarabi, and a good friend as well, who will give us insight on the subject of enemies. Enemies, who were the enemies of Imam Khomeini? May God bless his soul. And who were his friends? Because that's not something we've looked into while we've been doing this particular series of programs. And we're talking about the polarization of his character. What did he bring out in other people in terms of this relationship? That, you know, in terms of who were the people who were becoming his enemies and who were the people that were his friends? So, Dr. Mahdi Tarabi, I leave that entirely to you, because we, of course, we're coming on the back of the fact that we were discussing about Imam Ali alayhi salam, and, you know, Imam Ali is normally judged by his enemies, because that's what we get from history. So, fire away, sir. Tell me what you think.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think it's clear for anyone who witnessed these things that exactly like Imam Ali alayhi salam, who was polarizing.
He was a polarizing character, because we're talking about somebody who stands for principle.
Exactly. That just like his Mola, Ali, Imam Khomeini was a polarizing person.
He was.
And the point is that this is a good thing. This is the point.
Yes, yes.
When we say polarizing, immediately we have this negative
connotation.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you're not supposed to be polarizing.
Ah.
Right? Mm-hmm. You're supposed to get along. We're supposed to get along with everyone all the time.
Yes.
Everything to everyone. Mm.
Right? And everything to no one.
Exactly. So, I would argue that polarizing is a positive trait.
I think so.
That we see in its greatest manifestation.
I think this is a fundamental characteristic of a mu'min, of a believer.
Of anybody who stands up for haq, for truth.
Truth.
Who stands up for justice.
Yes.
I'm talking about not, you know, occasionally or when it serves him.
Right.
But as a matter of principle and as a matter of life, his own life.
Sure.
In the things that he does on a daily basis, in every situation, it will end up, you know, upsetting some people.
It will.
Especially people around him.
Exactly.
Who might be close to him.
Sure. I just wanted to raise a point that, you know, Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul, ruled